Hello?
Hello?
How you doing?
Pretty good, Mr. President. How are you?
Oh, I don't know. I got lots of problems.
We all have.
When De Gaulle was over here, Kennedy had invited him to come to this country. And he told me, as he did in 1960, that there was no serious problems between us, none that couldn't be resolved. That he was loyal to the alliance, but he just thought that when the chips are down, he's with us, but he just thought that he ought to have something for himself.
The first man spoke up about Cuba. Said he's ready to go, supporting us all the way.
Well, he's pointed that out to us. Now, he, about 2 days after he's here and after he said he'd be back in February, the French ambassador came around and said that he can't, he thought that I better come to Paris. He was coming here to see Kennedy, and the light of all that existed with the...
I just wouldn't go now.
I got John McCormick and Carl Hayden, and I don't want to travel anyway, and I can't do what I'm doing here. I'm working every night till 1 o'clock, and I just can't possibly keep up.
There's no emergency.
Well, no, but now I don't think anything good can come out of the meeting except division.
I said nothing there.
But now he's come along, and today he's suggested we come to Martinique, and that he's going to Mexico, but he doesn't want to come here. And he wants to make me leave this country. I don't know. Nobody knows. And Rusk is raising hell with me to go, and I don't want to go, and I don't think it's good to be going, and I...
Well, what's the purpose of the meeting?
Purpose is to satisfy his arrogance that he can move me out of here. Not any purpose, not anything that we could resolve. We spent 30, 40 minutes together. All he did was tell me that he was for us and with me, and I just told him that I agreed. I don't want to be, I said I'm not going to be running around going on over the country. I'm going to stay right here at home because I've got an unusual situation. Got no vice president. And these planes flying all the time and sabotage and all that kind of stuff. And we just don't know about it.
Well, I don't know of any reason on that where he should go. I'd stay in a perfectly good humor with him.
I'm just...
He's a Cuban fella, and he resents very much the treatment he got at the hands of Roosevelt and Churchill down at Casablanca. In 1941, they did insult him. He probably ought not try to get into the meeting, but they insulted him, and he never has got over it. But he held more animosity against Churchill than he did Roosevelt. And for that reason, he's been very...
Wait just a minute.
Hard to deal with. What's that?
He just gave me a note to Russ outside, and I didn't...
I don't know if any reason you ought to go, because you won't take a nice, have a pleasant day, Martinique's nice.
I don't want to go at all.
Go out there and see Josephine's birthplace and think about her and old Napoleon all a little bit. But I just wouldn't go. I just tell him that you had your Congress on your hands.
Dick, I've told him publicly at every press conference I've had that I'm not going to leave for the reason that Congress in session, it's election year. If I start going to one place, I'll have to go meet others. I can't have any legitimate excuse for not meeting a bunch of other heads of state that want me to. They'll be glad to meet me somewhere.
I would tell him if you couldn't, you would just love to have me in Washington, but the situation is such here now that you had this Congress on your hands. I don't reckon he's got the Parliament. If he hadn't got any Parliament on his hands, if he'd come by here, he'd just love to see him, but you had just didn't feel that you could get away in this emergency. You had this very unusual condition to obtain due to the death of the president, other factors.
I don't see how I can insist that Earhart come here and Hume come here and Italy come here and on the theory that I'm not going anywhere and then go meeting him off the coast.
Well, you have to deal with him a little bit differently. I don't mean as to the wind-up of it. You can talk frankly to those fellas. This fella, you have to sort of beat around the bush with him. But I would not go. I would be as polite and pleasant as I could be, but I wouldn't go because you start something to get you in trouble.
Well, they say the Washington Post, the Newsweek, and New York Times, and all of them would just be raising hell with me.
Well, why? What they gonna say?
Well, they say the Republicans are gonna say the alliance is cracking up, and Johnson refused to meet De Gaulle, and that created a division in the alliance, and Johnson's bungled everything.
Well, I thought you had some more control over him than that. What the hell, you got your man over there in the Washington Post?
Now, quit needling me. Quit needling me. Now, I've been brutal all day long. I've had hell all day long.
Well, I mean it. I mean, don't you just...
Quit needling me. I don't...
I'm not needling
you. You know goddamn well I ain't got no control of nothing.
No, you got Jerry Siegel over there.
Jerry Siegel.
In the organization.
No, he's not. He's not, and he hadn't got one damn thing to do with it. And the man that runs it, his name is Alfred Friendly. And he just this morning, a fool, Mike Dean, got a little old $100 arbitration agreement here, and he called him a big lobbyist and just smeared him good because he represented Trujillo sometime or other that I didn't ever heard of. But I named him.
Don't get too sensitive about that, so.
Well, I know it, but he had five.
You won't enjoy being president.
I'm not enjoying it. He got five columns on the front page and made me look like I was a goddamn mink coat man. And I'm not sensitive. I just think that if I controlled it, though, I wouldn't have given it that.
You don't get hurt no worse than you are by that sort of stuff.
Well, I know, but I just, I'm talking about answering your charge here about me having
no,
them to control.
No, I did think that you could point out to them before they wrote, before the thing cracked, and get the people in.
I called them. They ruined selling my home. They called me up the other day. They didn't call a damn human. They just ran a story in the midnight edition of Bulldog. It comes out at 11 o'clock. It said I say paid $165,000 for my home and I wanted $345,000. When their own damn man, Phil Grimm, bought it and paid $265,000 and went and borrowed the money. We put in a swimming pool and the other stuff and got it up to $345,000. And I told him, I said, now if you leave the impression I'm making a couple $100,000 on a home, nobody's going to want to pay that for it. It's going to ruin me. It ain't true. And I'm just charging exactly what I've got in it. And I got the invoices, and your man borrowed the money, and we still owe the money over to American Security Trust, Bill Graham's bank. He bought it while I was in India. And by God, they still ran the story.
Well, I regret to hear that, because that really sounds like real animosity. What's happened to Ms. Graham?
Well, Ms. Graham is for me, but you know the Bobby thing. They all thought that Bobby... That's where he got to be such a protege of mine. They all thought Bobby got that woman that Phil was living with from France. And somebody told Ms. Graham and them that, and all those folks down there thought that Bobby was his procurer, and that's what caused him to get in this trouble and quit his wife and commit suicide.
Oh, God Almighty. I didn't know
about it. Listen, I carry the burdens of the world, my friend. Everybody makes a mistake. Some night when you get caught out here Friday night, they're going to lay that on me. They're going to say that I'm the man that did it. By God, if I hadn't been your intimate, it never would have happened.
Well, Mr. President, I don't know. I think that your Secretary of State ought to be in a position to defend you in that. You saw him when he was here.
Secretary of State's the one demanding to go.
Well.
And that's why I won't talk to you before I talk to him. He's coming over here right now. I turned him down twice
those
today.
Those fellows are fine fellows, but they've got a certain pattern. And if you, I've watched them. But that he is of operation, and they can't do anything but follow that pattern, or make any argument on behalf of anything but that pattern. But I was hoping that Rush would be a little more resourceful than that he could. He ought to have enough sense to understand that you can't start leaving here now.
Well, you see, old man De Gaulle, after he was here and said he'd come, he decided after he got away that he'd been kind of had. And that here, this young fella coming in here as president, just been in 2 or 3 days, has come to him, and he'd just make him move to the mountain. And so he sent around to Rusk 2 days after he left here a suggestion that I come to Paris, which Rusk passed in, and I promptly vetoed. So then the next thing they did is passed around another suggestion. In the meantime, I'd put out about 3 press conferences saying each time I wasn't going to leave the country for their benefit. So the next time he comes up and suggests we meet some neutral place, we tell them the same thing. Now they come up and say, well, hell, you're right off your coast and it doesn't involve anything, and you're going to Mexico and you insult him now if you don't go to Martinique. I said, no. The answer's no. Quit messing with me now and quit lobbying with me. So I ran them all off now except Russ, and he's coming back second round, and he's sitting out in Walter Jenkins' office now. And I tried to locate you, and they said you were going from the floor to the other. And I'll just tell him that, but I just think it, well, the girl said you're going to the floor, and I had John McCone in here telling me about Cuba.
I just stand there and say, I don't know what you call Russ.
Secretary.
It's Secretary, Dean, or whatever you call him. Dean said, we thrash this out now. And I think it's your responsibility to protect me in this and make it look good as it is. But we got a complete answer, and I think it's your duty to make it look good, to be that way. That's what the hell the Secretary of State for. He's not. In the meantime, you might get Adlai Stevenson to try to polish it up for you. He'll go to polishing on it then.
Goodbye. Much better.
Well,
thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Not at all.
Bye.